Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African women's football. The Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, or CECAFA, is wrapping up a five-nation week-long women's tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. In addition to host Rwanda, women's teams from Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and Ethiopia competed in Kigali. Organizers believe the tournament is a way to improve women's soccer in the region. Magumi Davis Rakawinge reports from Kigali.
A group of Rwandan fans cheer up their team, Amavubi ladies, in a hotly contested game between Rwanda and the Crested Cranes. The Ugandan women's soccer team at Stade do Kigali, Nyamirambo. It's the final game for the Uganda Crested Cranes and the second for the Rwandan team in the round robin format tournament that started on the 19th of this month. Both teams are playing counter-attacking football to the excitement of fans for both teams. It is Uganda's 15-year-old Lilian Mutuzo, probably the youngest in the tournament, that scores first. Just 15 minutes in the second half, but Rwanda equalizes just 7 minutes later. Once again, Uganda reclaims the lead after Rupo Nora's strike with only a quarter hour to the end of the game to bring hopes for the Ugandans. But just 3 minutes to the end, Rwanda scores their second to tie the game 2-2. What a game of women football! Mutuzo is glad she was able to score on her debut for the Uganda Crested Cranes.
I was very excited because this was my first time to play this tournament. All in all, I learned passing, dodging. I was so excited and I felt like I want to score more goals so that I can win for the team.
Sifa Gloria Nibagwire, Rwanda's captain, says it is the hard work that helped her team draw with Ugandans.
We lost together as the Amavubi and win together, but we draw. That is the result. You can't blame anyone. It was not our chance. It was hard luck for us.
Nibagwire says, besides the results, she learned that stamina is an important element for any soccer player to be successful. Tracy Jones Akro, the Crested Cranes captain, says she was disappointed by the results. But she says beyond that, she acquired more skills as a player.
For the first two teams we played, especially Kenya, Ethiopia, those teams were experienced. They have a lot of experience than us, because for us, we are young and we're just coming on top. We learned from them their speed, from the pitch, control, and much more.
Serafina Munyana, the fitness coach for the Rwandan team, says she was impressed by all the team's performance. Munyana says the tournament showed that the region has players that can make it to the top.
They have to train hard and hard because they have the love of football. So what they need is to have the good coaches. For example, the typical game of Ethiopia. They are very technical and their game, I like it very much. If we try to train our player like Ethiopia, our player also in 4 or 3 years coming, they will be better.
To achieve this, Munyana says, soccer officials in the CECAFA region must improve the infrastructure for women football. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks. Thank you, Magumi. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us from Abuja, Nigeria's political capital, with more African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny.
We begin with the CAF Champions League, where Etoile du Sahel and Esperance of Tunisia and TP Mazembe of the Democratic Republic of Congo could secure CAF Champions League quarterfinal places this weekend with two games to spare. A home win for 2007 champions Etoile over Mbabane Swallows of Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, will guarantee entry into the knockout phase of the Elite African Club competition. The same scenario applies to five-time title holders TP Mazembe, but they have what appears to be a much tougher task away to 1976 champions Mouloudia Alger of Algeria. Twice champions Esperance will book a last eight spot, provided they win away to Kampala Capital City Authority of Uganda and Al Hilal of Egypt defeat Township Rollers in Botswana. In the CAF Confederations Cup, there are eight matches slated for this weekend. In Group A, Kinshasa AS Vita of DR Congo will face Aduana Stars of Ghana, while Raja Casablanca of Morocco will face ASEC Mimosa of Cote d'Ivoire. Biera Yudi Songo of Mozambique will face Al Hilal of Sudan, while Al Masri of Egypt will face RS Bakani of Morocco. In Group C, Abidjan Williamsville of Cote d'Ivoire will face Enyimba of Aba of Nigeria. Former Ghana Football Association chairman Yaho Temako is the latest to add his voice to the current happenings in Ghanaian football. All football-related activities have been halted after undercover journalist Anas Anas exposed the rot in football in the country through his latest investigative work titled Number 12. And for the former Ghanaian Football Association chairman, stopping all football-related activities in the country is helping to destroy football in Ghana the more.
Yeah, it's very disturbing. The issue facing us as a football nation, to me, I don't find it to be a very big issue in terms of putting things right. I believe strongly things can be corrected. However, my belief is that the correction should be made from inside.
Elsewhere, South African Football Association President Danny Jordan says it is important for South Africa junior male and female football teams to qualify for international competition, even though the country's national senior team, Bafana Bafana, is the only national football side that hasn't qualified for a major tournament this year.
One of the things that we have to do is not to wish for success at senior level when we have no success at junior level. You cannot play in the World Cup on a regular basis at senior level if none of your junior teams qualify and they don't even play.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. This programming note: I'll be in South Africa next week for coverage of Basketball Without Borders activities and the NBA Africa Game 2018. Dan Friedel will be hosting the show next week and the week after. This will be my second trip to South Africa. I traveled to the country 8 years ago for coverage of the FIFA World Cup football tournament. The NBA Africa Game 2018 will be played August 4th at Sun Arena in Pretoria, South Africa. This will be the NBA's third game in Africa, and it will once again feature a Team Africa versus Team World format. The NBA says there are more than 80 current and former NBA players from Africa, or with direct family ties to the continent, including Hall of Famers Akeem the Dream Olajuwon, who is from Nigeria, and Dikembe Mutombo, who is from the Democratic Republic of Congo.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Yeah. You need to get to the net, thanks to Kembe. Dikembe Mutombo is planning to attend the NBA Africa game on August 4th, and so is another big man who left a big imprint on basketball, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA's all-time leading scorer. The NBA Africa Game 2018 will be played in support of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and it will honor the 100th anniversary of the birth of South Africa's former president, who died in 2013. The NBA Africa Game 2018 will also take place following the 16th edition of Basketball Without Borders Africa in Johannesburg. Since 2003, the NBA, in partnership with FIBA, the International Basketball Federation, has hosted the instructional basketball camp for young people. The clinics also promote leadership, education, sportsmanship, and healthy living. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Joining us now with more women's football news is reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. The U.S. women's national soccer team defeated Japan 4-2 on Thursday night in their Tournament of Nations opener at Children's Mercy Park in Kansas City, Kansas. Forward Alex Morgan scored a sensational hat-trick with 2018 FIFA's Best Women Player nominee, Megan Rapinoe, sealing the victory and providing an assist for the world's ranked top team. Mina Tanaka and Moeno Sakaguchi got on the board for Japan, but the United States' aggressive attack and dazzling pieces of footwork was too much for the opposition to handle.
And speaking of opposition, Prince, who's the next opponent for the U.S. women's team?
So this Sunday, Sunny, the U.S. faces another powerhouse team, Australia. Coincidentally, the last time U.S. lost a match was last year against this same Australian side, and it was in this same tournament. They face a tough Australian side who also seeking to defend their Tournament of Nations title and also coming from the backdrop of beating Brazil 3-1 on Thursday. Japan will also face Brazil on Sunday, and both games will take place at Pratt and Whitney Stadium in East Hartford, Connecticut. In more football news, Spanish tax authorities have approved a settlement with five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo. The 33-year-old former Real Madrid striker will pay $22 million to settle a tax fraud claim in exchange for a reduced prison sentence that probably will be suspended. The Portuguese and Juventus striker appeared in court last July near Madrid to answer four counts of tax evasion. Prosecutors allege that Ronaldo hid his image rights income generated in Spain from tax authorities. Meanwhile, Brazil coach Tite has signed a new contract to remain with the Seleção until the end of the 2022 World Cup. The 57-year-old signed an extension despite leading his team to a quarterfinals defeat against Belgium in the 2018 World Cup in Russia. Tite was hired in 2016, having won two titles, a Copa Libertadores and a World Club Cup while coaching Corinthians. He becomes the first coach of the Brazil national team to be reappointed after a World Cup elimination since Claudio Coutinho in 1978.
Prince, any news on club transfers or international retirements?
Yeah, Wolves goalkeeper Carl Ikeme, who was diagnosed with acute leukemia in July 2017, has officially announced his retirement from football at the age of 32. The Nigerian international has been with the club for his whole career, making more than 200 appearances. The stopper said his decision to retire was made after consulting with his doctors. Wolves chairman Jeff Shee praised the goalkeeper's strength of character and celebrated his exceptional career at the club.
Prince, Ikeme's retirement decision, tough but necessary?
Yeah, it's a very painful decision, Sonny. Soccer has been part of his life, having joined the club at 14 years old. And of course, I just can't imagine how he feels right now. He's also been having intense chemotherapy and seems like the disease has taken toll on his body. We wish him quick recovery here on the Sunny Side of Sports, and I hope that he will come out of retirement soon to do what he does best.
Good luck to Carl Ikeme with that chemotherapy. And what else is going on in the football world, Prince?
Yeah, to some transfer news, Netherlands international Davy Klaassen has completed his move from Everton to Werder Bremen on an undisclosed fee. Atletico Madrid has also signed Portugal forward Gelson Martins from Sporting Lisbon. And Arsenal coach Unai Emery has also said that Nigerian international Alex Iwobi is close to signing a contract extension with the club. That's it. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Prince. Reporter Prince Nesta. Have a good weekend, Prince.
You too. Enjoy your vacation. Or is it work in South Africa?
There's going to be some work in South Africa. You think I'm just going to be on holiday in South Africa, Prince? I'm going to be scurrying about hunting for stories, Basketball Without Borders. With any luck, I'm going to go one-on-one with Dikembe Mutombo. One-on-one with the big man from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Come on, Prince. You know better than that. I'm a hard worker, Prince. Come on. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. One of the big golf stories this week was an Italian player making history at the sport's oldest major championship. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on his victory.
I'm lost for words, really incredible to do something like this, and very proud of what I've done.
What Francesco Molinari did was to win the British Open, known simply as the Open, and by doing so, became the first Italian to win a major golf championship. Molinari also conquered one of the world's toughest courses, Carnoustie in Scotland.
My record around here was terrible, so that didn't make me too optimistic about the week, but I just tried to you know, not think about it and focus on hitting good shots day by day.
Several players had a chance to win. Molinari knew it and felt he was in the right frame of mind for the final round.
I felt really good this morning when I came here. I felt like I was ready for the challenge.
His play backs up his words, a bogey-free 2-under par 69 to finish at 8-under par with four players tied for second. Second, two shots back. Molinari also held off his playing partner, American Tiger Woods, and the huge crowds that follow him.
I've done it before. I played with him before in Ryder Cups and in big occasions, so I knew what was coming and I was ready for it.
Woods is still making his comeback from back surgery, but is physically feeling well and feeling very good to be in familiar territory.
It didn't feel any different to be next to the lead and knowing what I need to do. I've done it so many different ways. You know, it felt great to be a part of the mix.
Woods tied for sixth, three shots back. He remains optimistic and cautious.
I know I need to try and keep it in perspective, because at the beginning of the year, you would have said you were playing the Open Championship. I would have said, you know, I'd be very lucky to do that.
Francesco Molinari knew golf fans in Italy were excited, and he hoped one group was especially watching him win.
Hopefully, there were a lot of young kids watching on TV today, like I was watching Costantino in 95. Coming so close. Hopefully they will get as inspired as I was at the time watching him fight for the Claret Jug.
With winning a major comes holding a special trophy. And for 147 years, this event presents the famed Claret Jug.
You know, to look at the names on that Claret Jug, obviously, what can you say? It's the best golfers in history, and to be on there, it's incredible. You know, from someone like me coming from Italy, not really a major golfing country.
What's next for Molinari?
I don't know. I had an easy jet flight at 9 o'clock to get back home, so I think that's gone. I have a holiday plan for next week, somewhere nice with the family. So hopefully we can still make the holiday and just relax for a few days.
Watching the thrilling World Cup final between eventual champion France and runner-up Croatia certainly had an impact on many of the millions of fans watching. No doubt, lots of amateur football players were dreaming they could play as well as their heroes. Now, they have a new way to compare their performance to the best professionals in the game and build their skills.
Yeah, for a reason. Don't look up. Oh, there he goes.
The help comes from a new wearable device that uses GPS and other sensors to track their movements. Anyone can get the same kind of intense analysis of their skills and flaws, previously available only to top professionals, with a smart vest, which holds a smart pod, a small tracking system that monitors and records every movement for analysis by coaches. Benoy Simare is CEO of the Australia-based Catapult Sports. He says Player is the world's first smart coaching system for football.
We can track up to 1,200, data points per second so that we can give you a pretty holistic view on your overall performance on the pitch.
The Smart Coach mobile app turns raw data into advice on sleep and other issues. It tells players how fit they are, how they perform during training, and helps them understand what they must do to improve in games.
How do you prepare mentally, physically? How do you recover from a sleep perspective, nutrition? How do you avoid injuries? So I think the players, the aspiring amateur players, are now more aware that if they want to make it to the next level, they've got to have tools and technology available to guide them towards that end goal.
The system allows amateurs to compare themselves to top professional players. Josh Coates is a sports blogger and an amateur football player.
It kind of makes you want to work harder so that you see your results better, because then you don't want to have results that are really like bad or like worse compared to the professionals. So it makes you put that extra bit of work in it.
It's expected such technology will become more common in many sports and be a routine part of gear worn during training and games.
Thanks, Jim. That's my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson. I'm Sonny Young. And you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Slovenian cyclist Primož Roglič won Friday stage 19 of the Tour de France with a superb ride over a 200-kilometer course that went from Lourdes to Lérins. The 28-year-old Roglič clocked 5 hours, 28 minutes, and 17 seconds. He finished the mountain stage by himself and proved once again that he made the right move when he shifted to cycling in 2012 and quit ski jumping. That's right, Roglič competed as a ski jumper from 2003 to 2011, and he was the junior world ski jumping champion in 2007. And speaking of jumping, Roglič also jumped ahead of four-time Tour de France champion Chris Froome of Britain in the overall standings. With two stages to go, Roglič has a good shot at a podium finish. He's in third place overall, 2 minutes and 24 seconds behind overall race leader Geraint Thomas of Britain. I've been pronouncing his name Geraint, like he had some French blood, Geraint, but I've heard that he's Welsh. He's Welsh, and he says, it's Geraint, Sonny. It's Geraint Thomas. So I'm going to try to get it right. Geraint Thomas, he could be winning the Tour de France. Dutch cyclist Tom Dumoulin is in second place, 2 minutes and 5 seconds behind Thomas. Roglič is in third place, and Chris Froome is now in fourth place, 2 minutes and 37 seconds behind his Team Sky teammate, Geraint Thomas. The 2018 Tour de France will have its final two stages on Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, there will be a 31-kilometer individual time trial where each cyclist races by himself against the clock. And on Sunday, there will be a 116-kilometer flat stage into Paris. And right now, it looks like Welsh cyclist Geraint Thomas could be lifting some ceremonial champagne on his ride into Paris on Sunday. Thomas leads the Tour de France by more than 2 minutes. And that wraps up the July 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Dan Friedel will be behind the microphone next week. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an international public service announcement by the United States government.
The United States has expanded its offer of rewards for information on key leaders of terrorist organizations to include a leader of one of the groups conducting attacks on government facilities and other targets in northern Nigeria, roiling the nation in sectarian violence. Abu Bakr Shekau is the leader of the group commonly known as Boko Haram, a Nigeria-based extremist organization seeking to overthrow the current government there and replace it with a regime based on a strict interpretation of Islamic law. Links with terrorist groups such as Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab have strengthened Boko Haram's capacity to conduct its attacks. Previously, the group's number two, Shekau claimed overall command in July 2010, expressing solidarity with Al-Qaeda and threatening the United States. A vehicle bomb attack on the United Nations headquarters in Abuja in August 2011 marked the group's first lethal operation against Western interests, killing at least 23 people and injuring 80 others. In April 2012, the group bombed a Nigerian newspaper office in Abuja and later threatened other local and international news outlets, including the Voice of America. Under his leadership, the group has kidnapped hundreds of children to serve as hostages, bearers, and even fighters. Shekau is tall, slim, and has a dark complexion. He was born in Yobe, Nigeria, sometime between 1965 and 1975, and is of the Kanuri ethnicity. He speaks Arabic, Hausa, Fulani, and Kanuri. He is known to have used the aliases Abu Bakr Sikwa and Imam Abu Bakr Shekau. The Rewards for Justice program is offering a reward of up to $7 million for information leading to Shekau's location. The U.S. promises that all credible reports will be investigated and the identity of all informants will be kept confidential. If appropriate, the U.S. is prepared to protect informants by relocating them and their families. If you have information on this man, contact the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate or submit a tip to www.rewardsforjustice.net or email information to info@rewardsforjustice.net. You may also call the Rewards for Justice tip line at 1-800-877-3927.
That was an international public service announcement by the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Celebrate the sounds of Africa today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's our mission in your show, Music Time in Africa. Hello, I'm your host, Heather Maxwell. Join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC and discover the best Pan-African music in the world. We play it all right here, only the best on VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Next on the program, we explore the state of play in war-torn Syria and post-election Iraq with two Middle East and national security analysts. Ellen Lapson, professor and director of the Center for Security Policy Studies at George Mason University, and Jennifer Caffarella, director of intelligence planning at the Institute for the Study of War. That's Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
VOA News.
When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.
This is